You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition, and this show will be a lot shorter than past Friday editions because I've had many, many long shows. So I decided today I'm going to make it short and sweet to the point. We had a very, very good, I won't say outstanding, but a good jobs report. And it had a development that's important. The numbers were 225,000 new jobs created, which is good. Not great, but it's good. Why is it good? Typically, you need 150,000, some would say 160, some will actually say lowered. Economists always differ as to how much. But a ballpark figure, about 150,000 new jobs every month just to keep up with the population growth. And those are people that are entering the labor market for the first time, whether they're coming out of high school or college. So to keep up with new laborers, if you will, new workers, you need to at least do that. And for last year, for example, the annual average was 175,000. So that's good. We kept up with the population growth and had an additional 25,000. You multiply by 12, it adds up. But really, if you want to reduce the unemployment rate by a tenth of a percent, most presidents do, what you need to do is add another 150,000. So a grand total is you would like to see month after month after month, and consistency is important here, you'd like to see 300,000 jobs. And remember, these are all estimates, an estimated 300,000 jobs per month, per month. That's a lot of jobs. You don't see those numbers. Most of the numbers have been typically between 100,000 to 200,000 ballpark. They go all over the place. It's going to vary from month to month. We've never been back at 300,000 or more. And why? Because the economy is simply not growing at its trend line of 3%. So how do you get the trend line or numbers growing above 3%? Well, you're going to have to do a couple of things. One, I think you need fundamental tax reform. I'm not going to cover that other than we need a broad-based consumption tax. Scrap all the other taxes and go to a simplified fair tax situation. You know, my own fair tax less, I would make the fair tax 20%, and that would replace, that's 20% on new goods and services that you buy. But then you would no longer be paying payroll taxes or income taxes. In other words, replace all federal taxes with a single tax. And you would pay it when you pay the tax? When you buy new goods and services. It's somewhat difficult to get around the tax. You would save hundreds of billions of dollars in tax compliance because there's no longer any income tax returns to fill out, whether individuals, partnerships, corporations, state or gifts, all those go away. We also would reduce the IRS significantly. The IRS, for all practical purposes, would go away. And taxes would be collected when you, for example, go to the grocery store, check out. And keep in mind that in the price of any good and service today, about 23% of it is to cover federal taxes that are built into the price. So when you go to this system, what you do away with is a lot of compliance costs, a lot of filling out tax returns, which is really wasted money. And you're simplifying it in the sense that no more, your gross pay would be your pay, and you decide when you want to pay the taxes. And you pay the taxes when you buy stuff. And there's no way, most people have to spend, anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 a year. Now, it's going to vary from people to people. Depends how much you earn. Your spending depends on how much you or if you're married spouse earn. Some people will spend all of it. If you have no income, you're going to spend savings. Now, the one thing I will add, and then I have to get off this, is every single taxpayer would be paying the same rate. And the criticism there is, well, that's regressive. Well, to answer that criticism, everyone would get a tax prebate of $1,000. So what that means is with a 20% consumption tax, you could spend, a single person could spend $60,000. 20% tax of $60,000 is $12,000. It would be totally offset by $1,000 a month. If you're a U.S. citizen, 18 or older, you would get a check from the government every month of $1,000. So if anyone spending $60,000 or less will be paying no taxes. Anyone spending more than $60,000 the net effect will be you'll be paying taxes. Obviously, the more income you have, the more you consume, the more taxes you pay. It's fair. It's simple. That's why it's called a fair tax. And you will no longer be paying payroll taxes. Keep that in mind. Will this happen? No. As long as you have the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, nothing's going to change. And that's where I'm leading to. What needs to be changed even before we tackle a broad-based consumption tax, and that's what we need to cut spending. Neither political party is up to the job. And as a result, when either Democrats or Republicans take power, control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, what happens? Spending goes up. Doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat, spending goes up, up, and up. So you're going to see no fundamental change either in our financial situation, in terms of the big deficits that are running, our tax situation, and our spending situation. Now, I say this because I don't vote for Democrats or Republicans anymore. They're financially irresponsible. And as long as we have them, you're never going to get back to growth rates that we have had in the past. The biggest obstacle today is the fact that government spending is out of control, period. So until you downsize the government, cut spending, you're never going to have growth rates of 4, 5, 6%. And you're seeing that in the fact that, you know, what was the last quarter, of last year's advance estimate? 2.1%. That's way, way below 3%. There's no way you can grow your way and pay down the deficit. First of all, eliminate deficits or pay down the debt. And we're turning into European countries that have much, much slower rates of growth and have much, much higher unemployment. Now, the statistics, the U3 is the headline number. That gets all the attention. And that went up a tenth of a percent. But what was good is, guess what? U6 went up to 6.9%. But both of those numbers drastically understate the unemployment situation. You could take the U6 number, let me round it to 7% for a minute. Multiply that by 3, you get about 21%. That's the actual real unemployment rate. You never hear about that. The only outfit that calculates it anymore is Shadow Statistics. The government used to calculate it. Now, you can make arguments that overstates the situation. But remember, one of the key things I always emphasize, what you need to look at is, besides the unemployment rates, whether you look at U3, U6, or the Shadow Statistic number, and that's around 21%, what do you want to do? You want to encourage people to work, come back into the labor force. And it was this month that over 500,000, I think it's 595,000 or 594,000 people came back into the labor force. They were looking for jobs. That's why the unemployment rate, U3 and U6, the broader one, both went back up. That's good news because these people are now looking for jobs. You see, I don't buy this nonsense, and Trump is peddling it, but other people are peddling it. Oh, we have a shortage of labor. Everyone that's looking for, we only have 6 million or 5.9 million unemployed. It's nonsense, folks. There's plenty of labor out there. And they're ready, willing to work, but they have to find employers to employ them. My estimate is somewhere between 20 and 30 million Americans would come back and work if they could find a job. That's a lot of people, folks. So in one month, we had 595,000 come back. Look at the chart. I gave you a chart, not the very top, but right before this. And I can't go over the details, but you can see the red line. This is from Shadow Statistics. They publish this every month. The red line is the U3 rate. The gray line is the U6. The blue line is what the U.S. government used to publish. And you can see that's much higher. It's over 20%. Now, where are these people? They're not in the labor force. If you're not in the labor force, guess what? They don't count you. The government doesn't count you. That's how they get away with this. It is a scam. Now, Donald Trump understood this. When he was running, all candidates, not all, but some candidates when they're running, make this point. And Donald Trump made the point. You can't believe these numbers, and you shouldn't believe these numbers. So you had a drop of, if you look at the, I think it's a table A, if what you need to look at, total number of people not in the labor force. It's been over 96 million. It's now dipped below, in 1 month, reduced by over 500,000. And you see that. I have the table. If you go down, you can get the number. Can't wait till I get my new glasses. You see, non-farm payroll, 225,000. Civilian labor force increase by 574,000. That's a lot. That means they were previously put in, not in the labor force. Now they're back in the labor force. In other words, they're looking for a job. When the Bureau of Labor Statistics surveys them, one of the questions is, have you looked for a job in the last 4 weeks? And if that answer is no, you're not in the labor force. Now the answer is yes. Let's say it's 20 million. We would need about 20 months of this. Okay, this is just the beginning. Now, why is this important? Because in the past, when the economy was truly growing, booming, the labor participation rate was much higher. It was between 66 and 67%. This is the first month in a long time that you have a significant increase of the labor participation rate. But we have a long way to go, baby. A long way to go. And what's stopping us? And what aren't they doing? They're not cutting spending. They're not closing permanently departments. Government is not the answer. Government is the problem. And we have two political parties that are simply unable, unwilling, and frankly don't have the courage to downsize the federal government. That's what needs to be done. Instead, what are we doing? We're spending more and more and more money. More and more money that the American people don't have. And what you need to understand, you know, for example, Keynesianism. If you're an economist, you know what I'm talking about. Keynes recommended, if you're in a recession, depression, that the government should step in and increase government spending. In other words, you should run deficits. Well, that's true. Now, run deficits when the economy is growing, when it's not in a recession. You're supposed to run surpluses. We haven't done that. Are you kidding me? People forget that. You always have to remind them of it. What needs to be done is cut taxes and cut spending, both, and really dramatically cut government spending. Are the Republicans going to do that? No. Are the Democrats going to do it? Are you kidding me? So eventually hit a brick wall. There is a barrier here. And what usually happens before you hit it, the economy goes into a recession. And then everyone wants to spend even more money. Is Donald Trump going to solve this? No. He doesn't even want to talk about it. Oh, no, we're not going to look at entitlements. Now, I'd be the first to say the first thing to do is cut discretionary, so-called discretionary spending. And that's all the government spending other than for entitlements such as Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, as well as so-called income security, welfare. Set those aside and interest on the debt. They should be closing departments and even the departments that remain open, their budgets should be cut. In other words, balance the budget initially by downsizing the government. That means a reduction in force. I haven't heard anything about that. I'm sure some people are thinking about it. I know there are one or two think tanks around. They just don't do it. We waste tons of money, so much we don't even know how much, mainly in the Department of Defense. But the other thing to keep in mind is, as you accumulate more and more debt, you got to service that debt by paying interest. People buy this, buy the debt. They expect to earn a return. So you have to pay. You got to pay interest on the debt. So more and more of the budget, the total budget of the United States, is going to be going towards paying interest. It'll double, triple, and probably quadruple. In 1 year, no, but over time, definitely. Because as that total national debt goes higher and higher, means more and more has to be paid out in interest. Now, the four biggies, I have a chart that I found, which is really good, and it's from the Congressional Budget Office. It shows for fiscal year 2016 through 2020, and 2020 is an estimate, but starting in the year, you see Social Security is the big one, followed by Medicare, that might surprise you, then defense, and then finally Medicaid. Now, I wish they include a fifth one, and that would be interest on the debt. Those are the big five. Now, national defense, Donald Trump is bragging. Well, we got it. I've increased it dramatically. He has. That's why the deficits are huge. And that's why the national debt is going up. I really believe if Donald Trump is reelected by a landslide, I think he will be, by the time he leaves office, the national debt will probably be very close to $30 trillion. Today, it's over $23. If he gets, by the time he gets reelected, it'll be over $24 trillion. $24 trillion is $24,000 billion. That's a lot of money, folks. And the sad thing is, the national debt is underestimated in those numbers. It does not include unfunded obligations. What do you think the unfunded obligations are for? Oh, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Now, the only thing to keep in mind is, well, two things. They're about 10 times what the national debt is now. If you add up all those things, those are our liabilities. We owe people, a lot of people, tens of millions of people that are collecting Social Security and Medicare. They qualify for, they meet the requirements. And the only way that'll go down is, guess what? People die. I always jokingly said, and it is a joke. I'm not taking it, I don't take this seriously. So sometimes you have to tell people this is a joke. But if you notice what's going on, the United States is obese. 70% of the population is either overweight or obese. Actually, if you break down that 70% number, 40%, more than 40%, are obese. You're fat. I'm one of them. But Donald Trump is a poster boy for obesity. And if you look at most of the people in the Congress, they are too. Well, what's one of the consequences of obesity? People die of heart attacks, cancer, strokes. So one way to kill off the American people is doing what? Encourage them to eat, eat, eat. And that's what we're doing. I think this is the second year in a row that the life expectancy is going down. We're killing, or we are voluntarily, we volunteer to kill ourselves off by eating, 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 or not getting a combination of eating, not getting enough exercise and enough sleep. That leads to mortality rates that should increase. So that's one answer to this problem is encourage people to get fat and die. Now, some will say, well, we don't have to encourage you much. You're right, but what about all those commercials? I don't watch much TV. I do watch movies, but TV, no. It's a wasteland, but there's a lot of advertising out there to encourage you to stuff it in. So joking aside, that the whole United States population needs to be on a diet. If you have 70% of the people overweight and obese, of which 40% is obese, we have a lot of fat people of all ages. That's the other thing. And that will kill them. It'll kill them early. Their life expectancy will go down. And if they're older, they're going to have heart attacks, cancer, strokes, you name it, not good outcomes, and they die. And when they die, guess what? No more Social Security, no more Medicare. Problem solved. Kill the American people off. Just feed them, feed them, feed them, and they'll kill themselves off. They'll do it with a smile on their face. That's happening, folks. takes time. And see, that's the point about all these people that qualify for these benefits. They're not due all at one. If they were due all in one day, the United States is broke. Now, I'm very careful here. Do I think the United States is going to go bankrupt? No. They just issue more and more debt to pay the old debt. But as it happens, what you're going to see is a couple of things. You're going to see more and more of the budget be dedicated to pay the interest due on that debt, point one. It's going to get bigger and bigger as more of the baby boom generation retires. Donald Trump is on the leading edge of the baby boom generation. Those were people that were born in 1946, as was Donald Trump, to 1964. About half, over half of the baby boom generation is already retired. They're collecting Social Security and Medicare. But in the next 10 years, by 2030, virtually all the baby boom generation will be collecting Social Security and Medicare. And that's why those programs are in trouble. So more and more of the money that's available is going to pay Social Security, Medicare, interest on the national debt and defense, Medicaid, that's for the poor, and, which is not on this chart, welfare payments. In other words, by 2050, almost all the money goes to entitlements. This is an urgent problem that neither political party is at all anxious or willing to address. The candidates for president, they don't address this. They're in a fantasy land. They think we can add more and more entitlements, and that's the way to get power. And if you ask me, why do we have this problem? We have what I call Santa Claus socialism. You have people, mainly in the Democratic Party, that will say, vote for me and I'll give you free stuff. The newest free stuff is to expand Medicare for all. It's not going to go anywhere. The American people are going to turn down flat. Free college education. Free, free, free. I'll give you some free stuff if you vote for me. Not hard to understand. Simple message. People fall for it, but guess what? Where does this money come from? A large chunk comes from taxes, but where else? How has the government been paying the bills for, really, almost 75 years? Actually, more if you start at the beginning of World War II. Borrowing, 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 and it's getting out of hand. It's getting worse. And one of the leading, the way we compare it is what percentage of gross domestic product is the government expenditures. Well, you see it's going up, up, and up. The deficit is the problem, and all the deficit is the difference between what we spend and what we collect in revenue. So we're never going to get back to 4, 5, 6% growth rates until we address this problem. And that means you're still going to have 20 million Americans out of the labor force, not counted, because they're not looking for jobs. We don't have a labor shortage in the United States, folks. I always say if companies want to hire more people and are having problems hiring more people, offer them more money, and guess what? You'll find a lot of people will take the job. Many of those people are sitting home. They're out of the labor force. They have not looked for a job, most of them for over a year, definitely for the last 4 weeks. But mostly, anyone that's been out of the labor force for more than a year is not counted as part of the labor force. That's why they got rid of this statistic. You see why. Presidents like to take credit for good things. What they're not doing is addressing what? This situation. They're not downsizing the government. Now, I'm pressed for time. I'm going to, what is the, there's a reason I picked this. Every time Donald Trump takes a trip, goes to the helicopter, what happens? He usually gives a press opportunity for people in the big lie media to ask a question. And that's what happened. I think he was going to North Carolina. I forget where. And you see him and the helicopter's warming up and it somewhat gets noisy. But here's the president on his way to the helicopter.
This is the D.C. Circuit. And we just won the big emoluments case. I think it was a unanimous decision. This was brought by Nancy Pelosi and her group. Just came out a few minutes ago. So I'll be reading it on the helicopter, but it was a total win. This was brought by 230 Democrats in Congress on emoluments.
So what is Donald Trump talking about? Well, we just won a case at the Supreme Court, unanimous decision. I got to cut it. What I'm trying to say is, are we talking about the most pressing problems of the United States? No, we're talking about the Democrats. Over 200 of them filed a suit, and they finally lost it on emoluments. It's this kind of nonsense. impeachment. These people are not serious. They're not responsible. I would throw them all out, Democrats and Republicans. Start again, because none of these people are going to address the financial mess in the United States, and that impacts employment. We got to downsize the government so the private sector has more resources. And I mean permanently downsize it, not for a year or two or administration. Government is simply too big. For most of the history of the United States, up until 1930, the size of the government was 3% or less. Now it's getting back to 20% or more. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.